Before we do that, we have a very special guest. His name is Congressman Tom Graves. He is right here from the state of Georgia. He is a winner of the Guardian of Small Business Award from the National Federation of Businesses, an avid promoter of the fair tax, and serves on the House Appropriations Committee. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Oh, great to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate what you're doing to communicate that great message for America about free enterprise and capitalism and how that's built this great nation.
Absolutely my pleasure. Now, with that in mind, you voted to, dive right in here, well, you voted to defund Obamacare, to repeal Obamacare, and to stop the implementation of Obamacare. Is that something, given the $105 billion that we found in there, is defunding that and stopping the implementation, is that possible, or where are we there?
Well, I think it's critical that we do that, and you're right, that was one of the first actions we took as Congress in the House of Representatives, was to repeal Obamacare. The only bill I sponsored last year and the first one out of the gate this year was to defund Obamacare and take away all appropriations of it. And, of course, that was adopted in one of the budget resolutions that we passed to the Senate. And we're going to keep doing that. We are not going to give up on that. That was something that the American people sent a strong message about last November. And we are going to be diligent in that effort. Certainly can't speak for the Senate and their enthusiasm or zeal on that measure, but we're not going to let up.
Good for you. Now, speaking of the Senate, obviously it's controlled by the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party right now in D.C., they are trying to paint a dysfunctional relationship between the establishment Republicans and Tea Party Republicans. Is there a split there? Kind of give us an update on how things are going in the Republican Party in Washington.
Sure. You know, they are trying to, marginalize. I use the words extremist, and it's clear that that's their marching orders, their talking points. But you know what? The Tea Party, of which I'm an avid supporter of, spoken at many rallies, the National Tea Party rally that was in 2009, as well as local tea parties all across Georgia. I mean, it's nothing but America. It's about loving America and the great principles that we were founded on, and saving our nation from the reckless fiscal order that Washington's put in place. And so I would say that the leadership in the House has been very open to hearing from members like myself and others who are intent on cutting this wasteful Washington spending. And as a result, we were able to pass that bill that cut $100 billion from the president's recommendations because of the enthusiasm that we had and the willingness to put the votes up on the board.
Now, you're not going to let funding for the Cowboy Poetry Program go away, are you?
Hey, nothing is off the table. You know what? I can tell you from the appropriations side, my lens that I look through is, you know what, is it necessary? Is it duplicative? Is it, is it an earmark? All those things. We need to clear out of some of that wasteful spending that's been going on in Washington. And I tell you, it's all over the place. And there is some resistance to it, but, hey, we're pushing on.
I wonder what part of the way the American people spoke on November the 2nd is Washington not understanding. I don't understand why we would compromise at all. I mean, quite frankly, $1.6 billion more than what we're taking, $1.6 trillion, I should say, we're spending more than we're taking in. Why haven't many of your colleagues in Washington, the Republican and on the Democratic side, why haven't they gotten a memo, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know where they were last November on the message that was sent. But you're absolutely right. We spend as a nation 150% of what we take in every month, and that is occurring over and over and over. And if any businessman did that, you know, a CEO, if his company was doing that, I don't think the board of directors would keep him around very long. And the American people, you know what, they're watching Congress, and if Congress does not get this under control, I'm sure 2012 there'll be another message sent to members who haven't listened. So we're going to keep back in the district. I can tell you our 9th congressional district has been very supportive of what we've been doing, and we're going to keep pushing on just as we always have. But it's a contact sport, and I think part of our effort needs to be, and you're doing a great job of it, of course, is communicating
the
message of how important it is that we make these tough decisions today, because it's the next generation that is ultimately at stake, and we've got some big decisions to make, and we can choose to build upon our greatness as a nation, or we can fade off into history. That is where we are. That's the decision point we're at right now. So when you hear about compromise or negotiations, it's really about compromising or negotiating away America's future. That's what the Senate is doing right now, and we're gonna stand in the gap and hold the line.
That's great. You know, you're a pretty eloquent guy. I'd love for our listeners, you know, you're a businessman too, prior to being in Congress. For our listeners, just how perilous is our financial situation as a country, and how close are we to our credit card being declined, meaning our treasuries not being sold when we have these auctions? How close are we? How desperate is this?
I believe we're at a tipping point right now, and the window is very, very, very narrow. I mean, we have a window of opportunity right now. We need to seize that moment, and we need to get the ship back on course. I mean, when we spend the way that has been spent historically, and let me tell you, it's been bipartisan, reckless spending, Republicans and Democrats. It's not one party over the other. But there's an opportunity right now to do it for America and make these decisions for our nation. And so we have that responsibility. That's what the voters have entrusted us with. But when we have a debt that's at $14-plus trillion and at all-time low interest rates, we know that at just another tick or two, and interest rates going up will just balloon our expenses. And it's projected that just in the next 9 years, our interest expense alone as a nation will be $1 trillion. And that's a one with 12 zeros after it. And imagine what that would do to the spending that we already have, how that would add to that. And so it's unsustainable. And all the charts show it. All the economists, you know, pretty much agree on the trajectory of spending that is unsustainable. And I guess to put it in perspective, our debt as a nation has already exceeded 100% of all gross domestic product. It achieved that in February, which is an area we do not want to be in at all. That is the danger zone, the red zone, basically the red line. We've redlined this thing, and we've got to get it back under control.
Well said. Well said. Let me change gears here just for a second. Tell me your thoughts, your position and your thoughts on the president's actions in Libya.
You know, I think after what we've and first of all, let me just tell you, we have no understanding or knowledge of why we're there. We've only had the same message that was communicated this week.
The president has still not been to Congress, correct?
Right. He has not addressed us. He has not shared any information with us. We do not know what the goals are, the objectives, or what the desired outcome is. We expect to have some briefings on that. But the president has done something that really has never been done before, and that is he has entered into conflict without addressing Congress or without seeking approval, without seeking a resolution of any sort. And that's unprecedented. And I think, you know, history shows that well over 100 times presidents have entered into a conflict without declaration of war. But they've always sought Congress's approval through a resolution of support of the conflict. And this president has not done that. And with that comes a lot of frustration from Congress that it reminds us a little bit of what he's done with a lot of policies, and that is he circumvents Congress by using his agencies and department heads to implement his agenda without congressional approval. Mm. And now doing that on the battlefront is just another example of advancing his own agenda.
We are talking today to Congressman Tom Graves, 9th District here in Georgia, U.S. Congressman, I should say, from the 9th District here in Georgia. Tell me this. We went into Libya, and it sounds like you have the same information that we have. We went in without a stated goal. We don't know what victory is, and we have no exit strategy. Does that sound as outrageous to you as it does to me?
It sounds totally outrageous. And, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. No stated goal, nor have we seen, you know, a threat to the United States of America as well. That's not been stated either. And I think each time that conflict has been engaged, there's been a direct connection to the United States and how a threat might have been engaged against us. And right. You know, the president has not demonstrated that, nor has the Department of Justice, the Department of Defense or the Secretary of State or anyone else shared that.
Amazing to me. That one is one where I've never seen anybody weave and dodge and not state the way things are. And as far as the speech is concerned, and I don't know your assessment, but I'll give you mine real quick and then we'll move on. What he said was very eloquent, but the substance of what he said was effectively worthless in giving the American people the message. Is that same your assessment pretty close?
Yeah, I watched the same address that America watched, and I didn't see any substance whatsoever.
All right, let me move on here again. Fair tax. You're a big proponent of the fair tax. Tell me why you like it and why you like it better than a flat tax.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm supportive of the fair tax, co-sponsored the legislation, and would love to see the fair tax move forward because, you know, number one, it eliminates the Internal Revenue Service. What a great victory.
What a great idea. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And, you know, the number one issue facing our nation is the economy and jobs. And when we simplify the tax code and we get it predictable in which you don't have winners and losers, then you're going to see jobs created. You're going to see industry flourish. You're going to see new investment occur. And you're going to see America be that strong engine that we've always been when it comes to the economy itself and production. And, you know, we're taking a focus ourselves in the 9th Congressional District. We have a National Manufacturing Summit coming in May, which we're bringing national attention to the importance of manufacturing and the role of America in the world manufacturing economy. We're 21% of all manufacturing GDP, and Georgia is a strong proponent of that because the 9th Congressional District is the number one district in the state of Georgia with manufacturing jobs, and it's the 23rd district, largest district with manufacturing jobs in the nation. Wow. And so if we can build upon that, which we know how to build upon that, and that is get government out of the way, reduce the regulatory environment, and have a predictable tax system.
That works every time, doesn't it?
It seems to work. It really does.
Every time that's been tried, it actually works.
And we see what the opposite happens, right? We've seen a couple of years of new regulations, and it has done nothing to reduce the unemployment whatsoever.
Congressman, do this for me, for our listeners. I got about 30 seconds. If you would briefly describe what the fair tax is, would you?
Sure. The fair tax is a very simple tax, consumption-based tax, which has a set tax rate, eliminates all the Internal Revenue Service, all the tax provisions in the 60,000 pages of IRS tax code, and it makes it very simple for the consumer to know when they're being taxed and how they're contributing to the federal government's tax system. So, you know, consumers are in charge. It empowers consumers rather than empowering government.
What a great idea. Empowering consumers instead of empowering the government. All right, we're talking today to Congressman, U.S. Congressman Tom Graves. If folks want to know more about you and they want to make contributions to your campaigns going forward, how would they find out more about you and make contributions?
Well, they can certainly Google us. They'll find all the information they need to find on us, and I can be happy to direct them to our congressional website where they can hook up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and such like that and follow what we're doing in Congress, and that is tomgraves.house.gov, and that'll get them connected to our congressional activities, and we'll be honored to have your listeners follow us.
What we'll do is we'll actually put a link from our website. They can go directly to that, thetyjyoungshow.com. But anyway, Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Will do. Thank you.